Good morning and welcome to First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton, FPC to our members, a welcoming spiritual community. My name is Anne Sadler and I serve on the Board of Trustees for FPC. The Reverend Cindy Landrum is our minister and she is with us today in our sanctuary helping out with details, but today we have a guest minister, the Reverend Walter LaFleur, who many of you will remember. Please welcome Walter to our virtual pulpit today. If this is your first time with us, we welcome you. We invite you to check out our webpage, fpcstowacton.org, for news and information. When we can all meet together again physically, you're also welcome to sign our guest book and take literature from the church life table at our coffee hours. And now, please welcome the Reverend Walter LaFleur, who will begin our service.
Good morning. Good morning. Can't tell you what a joy it is to get to spend time with you again. I can't tell you how much I've missed you, and I carry you with me always. I'm looking forward to an opportunity when we'll be able to be together face to face. But until then, we have what we have. Let us begin our time together with the following words from Nelson Mandela. He says, in Africa, there is a concept known as Mbutu, the profound sense that we are human only through the humanity of others, that if we are to accomplish anything in this world, it will be in equal measure due to the work and achievement of others.
Hi, my name is Michelle Cote, and I serve as the Director of Religious Education, and I'm just making sure I can give me a thumbs up if a few people can hear me. All right. So my message today is an introduction to what Walter is going to be speaking, a little bit of an introduction. And he's talking about our first principle and our seventh principle. The first principle in adult language is the inherent worth and dignity of every person. In kid language, it's we believe that each and every person is important. The seventh principle is respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. In kid language, we believe in caring for our planet Earth, the home we share with all living things. And I started thinking about the inherent worth and dignity of each person includes ourselves as well as other people. And the interdependent web is how we care for the whole Earth, including all the people on it. And boy, is that a huge thing right now, especially for those people that are dealing every single day with taking care of the sick in hospitals and in doctor's offices and all those other places. So I started thinking, what could we do that would show that we care for those people as well as for ourselves, but mostly for those other people? And I started looking for some quotes. And one thing I got from Mr. Rogers was, when I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping. To this day, especially in times of disaster, I remember my mother's words, and I am always comforted by realizing that there are still so many helpers, so many people caring in the world. And then this morning on the forum, there was a quote that Spencer Morfitt shared that says, justice is love made public. And that just tied in so perfectly to what I'm going to ask you to do in a little bit. So on the news, and I could not find where this started, but I saw a news segment where some people decided they were going to make hearts and write thank you to the doctors and nurses and put them up throughout their community. So they showed this community and there was hearts in people's windows and doors and on phone poles. And I made one this morning. I'm not sure you're going to be able to see it. It's a big giant heart. that says, thank you, doctors, nurses, and all those working to care for those who are ill. And now in this community, they hung these out to let the doctors and nurses that are working so many extra hours know how much they're appreciated. And I put in all those who are helping, because I'm also thinking there's cafeteria workers and cleaners and all those other people helping to keep the hospitals and nursing homes and all those other places that are filled with people that need care right now more than ever before in our country. So I thought, why don't we start that as FPC? Like, if every single person put out even just one heart or two or three or four on their windows, on a phone pole, can you imagine what a message we as a congregation could send to all those people, some listening right now, that are going above and beyond what they normally do? And it's not just for kids. I would highly encourage kids to do this, because that's something any kid can do to show that justice is love made public. And for those of you that might think, my one little heart, how could that make a difference? I'm going to give you a quote to end my part by Desmond Tutu. Do your little bit of good where you are. It's those little bits of good put together that overwhelm the world. Let's do our part to help those doctors, those nurses, those people working pretty much on the front lines of this COVID pandemic, to show how much we appreciate what they're doing. Let's FPC on the news with this. Let's really go out and do this, because it's something we're all stuck at home. Most of us are, except for the doctors and nurses and those people working on the front lines that have to go to work. So let's show them how much we care. And that is my justice and love made public that I'm encouraging you all to do this week. Thank you.
And now, the Reverend Walter LaFleur will share some words of prayer or meditation.
Come with me into a time of prayer, meditation, and reflection. Settle into your seats. Settle into your bodies. Settle into a time of quietude. Breathe. Breathe deeply. Breathe slowly. Breathe with the intention to simply breathe. Settle into yourselves. Find the quiet part of yourselves. Settle into a time of caring. Settle into a time of caring for this world of ours. The simple act of caring does not include judgment. It does not include a need to fix or make anything different. There is great power in simply caring. Breathe. Settle into the quietness of yourselves. Care for those who shared joys this morning. Care for those who shared sorrows. Care for those who slept on the streets last night. Care for a world in fear of sickness. Care for the babies recently born. Care for those who've recently died. Care for one another. Care for yourselves. Care for this world of ours. Simply care. Amen.
Please join us now in singing hymn number 295. The words are printed in your virtual order of service. This is Sing Out Praises for the Journey. Sing out praises for the journey, pilgrims we who carry on. Searchers in the soul's deep yearnings, like our forebears in their time. We seek out the Spirit's wholeness in the endless human quest. Look inside your souls, the kindling of the hearthfire pilgrims knew. Find the Spirit, always restless, find it in each mind and heart. Touch and hold that ancient yearning, kindling for a newfound truth. Stand we now upon the threshold, facing futures yet unknown. Hearth behind us, wayside hostel, built by those who knew wild roads. Guard we ere their sacred embers, carried in our minds and hearts.
The Stream of Life by Rabindranath Tagore. The same stream of life that runs through my veins night and day, runs through the world and dances in rhythmic measures. It is the same life that shoots in joy through the dust of the earth in numberless blades of grass and breaks into tumultuous waves of leaves and flowers. It is the same life that is rocked in the ocean cradle of birth and death, in ebb and in flow. I feel my limbs are made glorious by the touch of this world of life, and my joy is from the life throb of ages dancing in my blood this moment.
I hope the title of my sermon today, The Last Shall Be First and the First Last, might prompt you to think of one of the more memorable verses in the Bible. It's Matthew 20. Verse 16. I looked it up. The verse has universal meaning. This morning, I want to hold up the importance of universality, and more specifically, universalism. The verse has a backstory. It's about a landowner who hired laborers to work in the vineyard. Some were hired early in the day, and they worked all day long. Others were hired at various parts of the day as he found laborers to work. Now, at the end of the workday, the landowner asked all of the workers to line up. He asked the last ones hired to be first in line, and the first ones hired to be last in line. They all received the same compensation. Now, not surprisingly, those who were hired first, those who had worked the longest hours, complained, "Well, wait a minute, what's going on here? I worked all day. Those folks only worked for a few hours. Why are they being paid the same as me?" The landowner explained that those who had worked all day were getting paid full day's wages. She said, "What's the fuss? You're getting paid exactly what we agreed to when I hired you. You were paid full day's wages. You're not being cheated out of anything." He also told them that his money was his money and he had a right to do with it as he chose. And if he wanted to be generous, he had every right to do so. I must tell you that the follow-on verses don't tell us whether or not that satisfied those all-day workers. I think This is a wonderful parable that speaks to universalism. Universalism is a philosophy, a theological orientation that speaks to a fundamental truth, universal reconciliation. Now, theologically, it speaks to a belief that all can be saved, restored to right relationship with God. Now, I don't have any interest in engaging you in a long conversation or argument about the veracity of the claim. I simply want to hold up the concept because I believe it has a significant impact on how we live our lives, how we perceive and interact with others. It's the real life implication, and more importantly, the real life application that I think is important to contemplate. I believe it's the concept of universalism that gives our faith its power. And more importantly, and this is I want to highlight, it's the internalization of that belief in universalism that has the ability to impact how we live our lives. The concept of universalism plays too little a role, I think, in our lived experience in our culture today. But I also think it's a gift we use, can and should bring to the world around us. You see, that verse doesn't say that it matters. That verse says it doesn't matter if you work all day. It doesn't matter if you pick more grapes than anyone else. You're not worth more than anyone else. You're not more worthy than anyone else simply because you worked longer and harder. The last shall be first, and the first last can be seen, I think, importantly, as a backbone of a moral code of conduct. Such a belief, if operationalized, would make it impossible for one to perceive themselves as superior because of their station in life. It would get in the way of those with more money or more education than another to adopt a perspective of superiority over those with less. It would put to a lie the belief that one is superior because of one's beauty, body size, or shape. It would make one sound silly if they made negative assumptions about individuals because they lived in the poor part of town, or because they had particular skin color or a particular sexual orientation. Beliefs of superiority and inferiority get in the way of unity. They impede notions of equality. They separate us from one another. They can blind us to another's humanity. The so-called right, the so-called left, active in our lives today, is a perfect example. I associate the theological concept of universalism with our seventh principle. It speaks to the respect for the interconnected web of all existence of which we are a part. It states explicitly, we are part of an interconnected web of existence, meaning we are part of something bigger than our individual selves. The implication is what affects one affects us all. Now I want to be explicit in juxtaposing our seventh principle with our first principle. First principle states a belief in the inherent worth and dignity of every person, the individual. Since it does not state a belief in the equal worth and dignity of every person, it leaves open the possibility that a tall person might have more inherent worth and dignity than a short person. That one with more money or academic knowledge may have more inherent worth than one without either asset. Now, I don't want to demean the first principle. It's a powerful statement. It's an important statement. It's largely what first attracted me to Unitarian Universalism, in fact. I thought then, and I think now, a community of faith that explicitly states a belief in the inherent worth and dignity of every person would be of particular attraction to those whose identity has been and or is marginalized. But if we look at the demographics of our typical UU congregation, either my presumption was and remains inaccurate, or our congregations would benefit from some introspection regarding the lived experience of our first principle. My lived experience in Unitarian Universalism is that there is a great deal of emphasis on the individual, much less attention paid to our interconnectedness with one another, our interdependence between our congregations, or even our interdependence with our larger community. When I've stepped back and attempted to analyze our overarching dynamics, my observations don't surprise me. They do disappoint me sometimes, but they don't surprise. You see, Unitarian Universalism grew up largely during the age of the Enlightenment. I think, therefore, I am a powerful, important construct, but I dare say a flawed one as well. It ushered in the separation of mind and body, the separation of body and the external. It grounds one's very existence in the thinking mind, a unique and separate mind. It implies one does not have nor requires a connection to the external. And if I am because I think is a foundational notion, it makes perfect sense one would both highly value and vigorously defend one's thoughts and beliefs. Defend as if one's life depended on it. Such does not bode well for a sense of community, inclusion, and acceptance. I want to hold up this morning an alternative narrative, perhaps best framed by the phrase, "I am because we are." The concept is captured in the African term Ubuntu. Nelson Mandela defined it as a profound sense that we are human only through the humanity of others. The primary reference point is the other. The primary reference point is interconnectedness, not personal thought or belief. It recognizes our personal best interests are inextricably tied to the best interests of the other. Such an organizing principle imposes a sense of moral obligation regarding our responsibility to one another. Ubuntu is a wonderful metaphor for universalism. As I close, I want to highlight that our seventh principle should be a gift of Unitarian Universalism, a gift that we can bring to the world, and we should be intentional in sharing that gift. Our world is in crisis as a result of this C19 virus. The experts tell us the primary tool we have to combat this powerful impact is minimized by the spread of the infection. That means that each of us needs to do our part to minimize its spread. If inherent worth and dignity of every person is one's primary reference point, we run the grave risk that each person will maximize their own worth, and dignity, that they might give preference to their own wants and needs with potentially catastrophic consequences. What's needed is for each of us to recognize and to be driven by the notion, I am because we are. With this as a primary reference point, decisions will be made based on what's in the best interest of the whole, what's in the best interest of this interconnected web of ours, not what's best for me. We will self-quarantine not because we like it, but because we are driven by a moral obligation to the greater good. What better gift could we give to each other and to the world than to be driven by an obligation to the greater good? It's a gift universalism brings to the world if we are willing to share it and to share it liberally. May it be so. Amen and Ashe. We would be one. We are one. We are all connected to this interconnected web of our existence. Find peace within yourself. Find care within yourselves. Breathe deeply and share the goodness of who we are with the world. Go into your week in peace.
Peace be with you till we meet again.